This call is now being recorded. You may begin.
Thanks. Glenn, do you want to do a roll call for us?
Certainly, Mikey. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Vertical Integration Call, the 11th of October. And on the call, we have Siva Mutatsami, Mikey O'Connor, Barry Cobb, Alan Greenberg, Eric Branner-Williams, Avery Doria, Christina Rosette, Jothan Frakes, Paul Diaz, Richard Tindall. And for staff, we have Mike Zupka, Margie Milam, Glenda Saint-Cherie, and I think that's all. Then we have apologies from Catherine Ulmer, Staten Hammock, Ron Andrus, Cheryl Langdonor, and Bodwin Shombi. May I ask you all please to say your name for the transcription purposes. Thank you, Mike. Oh, yes, and Phil Buckingham has just joined us, Mikey. Thank you, Mikey. Over to you.
Thanks, Glenn. And I think we may be able to add a few more folks as people join. The first agenda item is if anybody has got an update to either their statement of interest or their declaration of interest, this would be a good time to chime in with that. Okay. The two agenda items that I've got so far, anyway, I circulated last Friday on the list. One is to sort of work through a thought that I had about the public comments, and then the second is to have a conversation about sort of the next steps of the working group. And they're kind of intertwined, so if they blend into a single conversation, that's fine. I'm sort of stalling because I just saw Roberto join the Adobe room, so I'm expecting him to join the call in just a second, too. Anyway, the idea that I ran into sort of started as I promised. I went through the public comments. Ah, Roberto's on the call. Hi, Roberto.
Hi.
Welcome to the gang. As I was going through the public comments, I found myself almost precisely, almost exactly replicating the categorization that Mike Zupke did when he built the matrix that's on the Adobe screen in front of you. And I also found myself putting the same three recommended actions into every single comment, which was thank the person for their comment, pass the comment along to the board since they now have the decision in front of them as to what to do and the comments would be useful for them, and also pass the comment along to the next phase of the vertical integration working group. And I decided rather than just circulate what turned out to be a really stupid-looking document with the exact same thing in every single box, that I would just ask the group whether the way to handle the comments might best be simply to assemble the comments without those columns, do those three actions, and use Mike's categorization as the way to clump them into parts. Because there are a lot. There's 119, I think, or 100 total. And sort of given where the state of play is, I wanted to try that idea out on you before I labored. I made it a third of the way through the list and then looked back at what I'd done. Saw this pattern and went, well, gee, maybe this is silly. So I'd like to throw that out to the floor for thoughts, comments, ideas, reactions. Anybody feel strongly that that's the wrong approach? Not seeing an overwhelming tide of hands. Alan, go ahead.
Well, I think we've got the questions in the wrong order. If indeed our decision on what to do next is publish a final report and sign off, then I think what you're proposing is reasonable. If it's to continue and do something to look at later phases, then I think the answer is different.
Okay. Well, we could reverse the questions. The thought that I had actually was the other way around, which was that if the working group did proceed with another phase, that would be the time to really look at those comments in some detail.
That's basically what I just said, although I didn't say that clearly.
Okay. Well, maybe we should reverse the sequence. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you, Mike. This is Eric Werner William. I submitted public comments, and I suspect others did as well, with the intention that they would be informative to the board in the round, whenever it is, but let us assume 2011, in that particular context, not necessarily in later context. So to defer the evaluation, the consideration of the public comments, is not, I think, consistent with the intent of seeking public comments in the first place that the working group embarked upon relative to its own work intending to influence or inform the 2011 round. And it isn't informative of the subsequent rounds, as the comments may have not have been tendered with the intent to comment on the work of the working group thus far in its second phase or in its later phase. So I'll stop there. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's why I kept saying in each one of my little recommended action boxes that the comments should be passed along to the board immediately, since they have the decision on VI in front of them right now. So, you know, my thought there was to get the comments to the board as quickly as we could and then save them also for subsequent work by the working group. So if I wasn't clear, that's at least what I was trying to say.
Thank you, Mike.
Would that work? Is that consistent with what you would like to see?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. Maybe we should, you know, I'm fine with the idea of reversing the questions and talking about, you know, the phase one, phase two thing. People feel that's important. Eric, is your hand up again?
Yes, it is, Mikey.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Eric Brenner Williams again. Mikey, I'd like to stress that there is more to the working group than just the phase one report, independent of what is done with the comments, which are, I've previously stated, were intended to inform or influence the board in its consideration of the phase one activity of the working group. Even though we have no consensus, it's not clear that consensus is not possible, merely that it wasn't possible in the time frame that we had. So I do encourage the continuation of the working group with the intent to explore the possibility of arriving at consensus amongst the conflicting stakeholders who are in serious conflict at some point subsequent to the 2011 round, assuming that ever happens. Thank you.
Okay. I think that puts us firmly into question number two, so let's go ahead and talk a bit about that, and maybe that'll help us with question number one. Let me just sort of lay the framework for that question, and that is, when we laid out the work of the working group, we always envisioned this as a two-phase affair, phase one being very fast to try and come to agreements, if possible, for this current round, the one that's being decided at the moment. We originally set the target date for that consensus as the Brussels meeting, And as you probably remember, we kept sliding that date closer and closer and closer and closer to Brussels, and finally we said, well, let's try it at Brussels face-to-face, and then we went to Brussels face-to-face, and we didn't quite get there, so we decided to write an interim report, which we did. And somewhere in the shuffle, the name of that report, which should be the Phase 1 final report, got shortened to being just the final report. And I will claim full responsibility for that. And so we wrote an interim report, and we took it out to public comment and got it back, and now we have the job of transmogrifying it into a final report for Phase 1. That's what we're working on right now. And I think that a couple of weeks ago on the call, I think right after we got the news of how short the timeline was for us to attempt to come up with anything for this round, I got discouraged. And I kind of let Phase 2 slide away. And I think that was an error. And so what I would like to do is just state loud and clear that that was a mistake on my part, and propose the following, which is that we, when we submit this report to the council, hopefully pretty soon, that we call it the Phase 1 final report, and then immediately start gearing up for the real Phase 2, which is where we put all of the quote, real, unquote, PDP activity that is driven by our charter. Remember, we sort of scrambled the charter because the charter was written sort of before the time pressure decisions by the board were made. And so we essentially inserted Phase 1 in front of the work that we've been chartered to do, which is Phase 2 now. And so I think that what we need to do is clarify that with the council, with ourselves, and unless I meet strenuous objection, as soon as we wrap up the Phase 1 final report, get going on Phase 2 and make that clear to the council. So I don't know which order to take these questions in, but I'd like to put that one out on the floor as well, and maybe we just sort of leave them all out on the floor for conversation right now and see sort of where we wind up. Is there anybody who really strenuously objects to that approach? I mean, that's basically the approach that we've talked about all along. And I think that the reason we sort of appeared to diverge from that is my fault. And so if we could just sort of forget that, unwind that, and go back to our plan, I think then we're fine. But this is, I think, a good time to have that conversation, sort of nail it down and make sure that that's really where we're headed.
Mikey,
so there's
Barry
my introduction. Yeah, Barry isn't on Adobe, so we'll let him barge in anytime he wants. Barry, you're in the queue, and then Alan after you.
Great. Thanks, Mikey. This is Barry Cobb. I agree with everything you said, and I guess really it's just kind of a question of semantics. It was only within the working group that we decided to slice this up into phases. Anybody external to the working group, I feel that the phase terminology may be somewhat confusing. So I just maybe put to the working group here that I agree we need to go through these comments, make sure they get over to the board. Perhaps it'd just be better that we just call this a revised initial report, and that for external purposes, so people aren't confused by the word final, And then, obviously, internally within the working group, once we get past these initial comments and publish the revised initial report, then, you know, we go into our phase two and the deep dive work that we need to do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Barry. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I support what Barry just said. Using the term final, I think, obfuscates things, regardless of the phase one notation. The note that was sent to council a few weeks ago saying we would be incorporating the comments and submitting a final report has clearly, put a taste for blood in some people's mouths that this is the opportunity to shut this down and get it over with. It may be hard to reverse that now that concept has been raised. But nevertheless, I think that that what you're talking about makes sense with one proviso. I think it makes absolutely no sense to go on to what we're calling phase two until after the board has said what the phase one results will be. It may well be that everyone says, given that the phase one is gone, this is a perfect steady state solution and we don't need to do anything more. Or it may be that we see exactly what we want to do at that point, but doing it prior to the board actually deciding what the phase one solution is, I think makes no sense at all. I would add that the board resolution did clearly say that any solution we come up with will be incorporated into succeeding phases. So their expectation is we are going to keep on working. And, given that, whether we analyze the comments now or analyze the comments in depth later, I don't think matters a lot. If we can analyze them now and summarize them for the board so they don't individually have to read every comment one by one, that's fine.
I think Alan just dropped off.
No, I'm here. I just finished talking.
Okay. It just ended in a funny place in the sentence.
Oh, sorry.
Margie? Oh, yeah, Margie and then Roberto.
What I wanted to say, Mikey, is, I think you guys have been mentioning it should go to the board. Well, as you recall, the last report actually had the public comment summary attached to it. So unless there's substantive information that we want to give the board beyond what was already there, I'm not sure, what they would get, because it was included in the report was the summary of public comments. And so typically what you would do is decides to do something substantive with the public comments, then it doesn't sound like we're doing anything substantive to it. So I'm not sure what the benefit is of sending something to the board at this point.
Okay. Thanks, Margie. Roberto, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that Margie has just half answered my question. I was under the impression that this was an activity, the incorporation of the public comments was an activity that we still needed to do, in the sense that one thing is to say to the board, okay, this is our interim report, and by the way, this is the summary of the results of the public comments. And one other thing is... Hello?
We can still hear you.
Yeah. And one other thing is to say, okay, we, the working group, have gone through the public comments, maybe there are some points that we want to take from the public comments that may change some of the things that we have put in the interim report. In other words, the question that I see is, do we need to go over the report and change things because of the public comments, because of our elaboration, our thinking, adding the public comments to the picture? And if this is the case, then this is orthogonal, in my opinion, to whether the working group will have a phase two or not. But it's just strictly part of the phase one. If, on the other hand, the working group feels that even reading the public comment, there's nothing that we need to change, or that there's nothing that we want to add to what we have already said, well, in that case, the page is already turned over, and we can immediately start to plan for the phase two.
Thanks, Roberto. As I went, I started going through them one at a time because, you know, I wanted to try and write a draft of the matrix to give people something to review. And what I found was that the public comments, for the most part, as Mike put them in clumps, he put them in categories depending on which part of our report they referred to. Because we have such diverse points of view, I found myself saying that comment X either referred to something or supported something or was opposed to something, but I couldn't imagine that we would change the substance of our report much based on the comments, because for the most part the comments retraced many of the steps that we had already gone through. So I would tend to fall in your latter analysis, Roberto, which would be to say there isn't going to be a real substantive change to the report, and that instead we should probably think in terms of immediately moving on to planning phase two and getting started. Margie, your hand went up again, right? Is that a new hand or an old hand?
It is a new hand. I wanted to follow up with what Roberto was saying and to kind of give some examples of where the public comment might be useful. If you may recall, the revised report talked about principles we used the language we were moving towards consensus. So you've got the compliance language, for example. You've got the, there's a number of things that there are like four or five principles that we were moving towards consensus on. So if you're looking at the public comments, really the question is, do these public comments, in order to give them justice, do they sway the working group into changing that from moving to consensus to actual consensus on at least some of the principles? I'm not saying that you'll get support for any one proposal, but I think there was a handful of principles that seemed to be getting consensus in the working group, and that might be an area where you would update the report and send to the board, because then you've got at least something that the group, had consensus on. I'll give you an example of one thing that seemed to be strong consensus from the public comments, that there was this, rejection of the proposal in DAG versus V4, for example. You know, that could be something that the group achieves consensus on. So that's the exercise that we haven't done yet that would be appropriate to do for this, finalizing the report. But if after looking at the public comment, it doesn't change anyone's perspective on the working group and we don't have consensus, then the report, doesn't change very much.
Okay. As I'm running down the comments matrix, maybe what we need to do then is focus on those parts. Well, one thing we could do is focus on those parts of the comments that address the principles and see if we can move closer to consensus. Eric?
Thank you, Mikey.
You're really faint, Eric.
I'll try and speak louder.
Okay.
Am I any better now?
Oh, that's getting better.
Okay. Thank you. I'm responding to Margie's original point, that there is nothing in the comments, that the comments attached to the report are sufficient and speak for themselves. The comments may do that, but that's
not indicating that we are informed by them. And I want to point out that I believe it was Brett who made the comment that AOL and others who are registrars currently are adversely affected by vertical separation that we have been considering because they effectively they're given an either-or choice to engage in brand protection as they have done historically as registrars or to engage in brand protection as registries. So early in our discussions, there was the brief proposal by myself to Jeff Newman that we distinguish between registrars and shell registrars, that is, the registrars that are available to become participants in vertically integrated registrar combines. We didn't really do anything with that. So where we haven't actually been informed by ourselves very much, but where Brett has informed us, is that not all registrars are alike, that there are registrars such as AOL and BT, which are very unlike any of the registrars that we have been imagining might be participating in a vertically integrated enterprise. So we should not ignore the input that informs us of areas we have not actually considered, yet we thought we did consider. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. I'm going to just go through the queue for a while and sort of digest. I'm liking this conversation a lot. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, my comments are partially related to what Margie was saying. If you remember, just after the board resolution, there was either a despair or euphoria, I'm not sure which, at which we decided to try to find any common threads that we did agree with and tell the board about them prior, prior to the deadline 3 days later. I think that intent was valid, and we may not have met that artificial constraint of the board, but the board is still going to, at this point, sometime in the next 2 months, make a decision on how to handle VI for the first round. If indeed we can come up with any common threads and get it to them in enough time for them to consider, I think that will be incredibly useful. And if there are indeed any common threads and things that we generally agree on or have wide consensus, if not complete consensus, I think it's very important that we tell them those in concise terms. There have been other examples recently where the board has missed subtleties that are embedded in reports. And I think that this is a case where we don't want that to happen. So I think we should go back to that exercise we tried for about a day and a half or a meeting and a half and see if indeed we can come up with any concise statements of things and give them a measure of how uniform the consensus is or how widespread the consensus is to advise them, as it were, on making the decision for the first round. I think that would be incredibly useful and I believe should be part of phase one.
Thank you. So, Roberto, is what Alan said consistent with your first option of the two that you proposed?
Yeah, I think it's consistent. I mean, I'm also what I was saying was also kind of a, an input to solicit discussion on this point. I don't have a strict position. I think that Alan is going along the line of specifying better, giving an opinion that is in line with my first hypothesis.
So, maybe it's safe to say that when I wrote that very terse note to Chuck, to the council, saying, in response to the board and then in response to Chuck's question to us, that was a two-sentence note. The first sentence was, no, we have not reached consensus by the deadline. The second sentence where I said, we will be submitting a final report to you by whatever the date was, I've forgotten, November something. It sounds like that sentence was a catastrophe and should be unwound, because it boxed us into something that doesn't feel like it's the right place for us to be. Irrespective of which of the paths we ultimately take, you know, Alan's point's pretty persuasive to me as well, that maybe what we ought to do is kind of take Margie's thought, which is take a look at these comments, especially the ones that bear on the places that we might be finding some consensus, and Alan's point that if we were to find such a thing and get it to the board within, you know, a reasonably short period of time, it would be very helpful for them. Maybe me in my despair cut off way a very broad swath of options for the group that I shouldn't have. And if that's the case, I'd be perfectly willing to shoulder up to that and, to use the Nixon administration's term, write a note to Chuck saying that second sentence is no longer operative, if that would be useful. Margie, go ahead.
Yeah, and I have a suggestion, and it's just a suggestion. If we were to do that and try to go back to look at some of these comments, perhaps we might want to break out in the groups that we broke out before. So, for example, the folks that wrote the compliance section might want to look at the comments that related to compliance to see whether, you know, it changes the language in the report, or whether they think they can recommend to the group that we likely have consensus on this particular principle. But since those folks, you know, focused on the different issues, like, you know, like compliance, like, you know, exceptions, there was a, you know, I forgot the various subgroups that we broke out into, but that might be an easy way to tackle some of these issues.
It might be a way to get to a draft. I think that one of the tricky bits is that because we put that report together under such a tight deadline, we never really had a chance to do our usual beat it up on the list, beat it up in the group as a whole process. And so I think we'd have to at least do that in two phases. First, maybe get to a draft through that, and then come out to the broader group, because we never really tested for consensus on a lot of that stuff. We have intuitive feelings, but that's about it. And the language that we did get to consensus on, the language that got up into the body of the report, is pretty broad and would need to be probably brought up to the specificity of the possible language that was eventually, you know, drop back into the appendices, because we just didn't feel like we had consensus on that. But I think that would be a pretty reasonable approach. So let me summarize the state of play as I see it at the moment. That we unwind that second sentence in our two-sentence letter to Chuck. I will do that if that's what we decide to do. I'm inclined to run with Alan's approach that, and Margie's approach, that we take the opportunity to dive back into especially the principles. I'm not sure that we can move the group much in terms of proposals, but if we focused on the principles and saw if we could come to some sort of consensus on that, that we would leave that in phase one, and we would leave phase one running, then we would make it clear to the council that to Barry's point, that we're perhaps confusing or surprising people with the phase terminology. We have been pretty clear on that. We presented it in the status report in Brussels, and it's been going up through Stefan in the more detailed status reports that we've been filing sort of all along. So I think we're at least covered on that. Is that sort of... I'm going to kind of throw this back to you all, especially Roberto. I'll give you a chance to think about it a bit. But, you know, what I get is no appetite at all for the notion that we just stop. That there's support for the idea of continuing on with phase two as originally envisioned, and a fair amount of support also for trying to find one last run at some consensus points within phase one around the principles. Is that a pretty good summary of where we're at? Avery's in the let it go mode. Do you want to jump on the call on the voice side? And I mean, I don't think we can let phase two go. I mean, we've said out loud in public, in written documents, that we have to do phase two. But are you talking about phase two, or are you talking about trying to find consensus inside of phase one, Aubrey? Go ahead.
I think I'm talking about the whole thing. I'm not sure I agree that we should unwind. I'm not sure that it's up to us to unwind. I mean, we send a report, and the council can look at it and say, listen, we want them to go on, or no, we don't. So I don't know that there's, I mean, I suppose, yes, if this group sends back, we're wrong, we really do want to go on, we should. I think Alan was absolutely correct in saying, you know, there is no point two, there is no second part of the PDP until such time as the program actually starts, because we don't know what the final disposition is on VI. So I see us spending week after week, meeting after meeting, talking about process, and whenever we get out of process, we go round and round with the same disagreements. I think, yes, finishing the comments, whether in the old committees or new subgroups or whatever, is something that should be done if it can be done. But I think, I'll continue participating and I'll contribute when I see a chance to contribute, but I just don't, you know, the definition of work is that try a lot of pressure and there's some movement, you know, something gets accomplished. And we're pushing hard against the wall, especially you guys, but nothing's changing, nothing's moving. And I really think tying part one up with a bow, saying we don't know where we should go next, and we recommend that the council reconsider restarting this group with an updated charter after such time as everything is said and done, is a good way to go. So maybe it's an intermediate where the group isn't formally closed down, whatever that means, but the group is formally put to sleep. And if somebody wants to come along and unbox it later, great. But otherwise, you know, the group is boxed and it's put in storage and it's done unless consciously restarted. Thanks.
Thanks, Ivory. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't quite agree on the process that Ivory's talking about. I think we were chartered with a need to do something, and that need is still there. And we can obviously be killed by council at any time they choose, but I don't think we should go back to council at this point. I think the natural course at this point is, you know, as I said, to come up with any guidance we can provide the board for their interim solution, and then reconvene and go back to our original task. The point I made in an email just after the board decision, you know, when you had sent that note, was it's fair game for this group to decide we are shutting down, we have done as much as we can, we're at a stalemate, but I think that needs to be the conscious decision of the group not a subset of the group who happened to be on one poorly attended conference call, you know, or the, to use your words, the chair in his despair. If we're going to shut down after all this work and not meet our original charter, then I think it needs to be a very conscious decision of the group as a whole, or at least the majority of the group, which I don't think process we don't think we've gone through. And if we're not going to go through that process, then I believe we must continue using one or the other of the mechanisms that we've been talking about. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I don't think that we're all that far apart. To Avery's point about, and yours too, Alan, about when phase two starts, I think everybody would agree that it's really difficult to start phase two until we know what the final disposition of phase one is, so that we've got that groundwork, and that's an undetermined date. In a way, I would kind of like to have a break on the content side to work only on the process side, so that people who can't stand process discussions can take a breather from all that. Because I'd really like to put a really detailed charter work plan together for phase two, a luxury we didn't really have for phase one. And so taking a while to do that actually appeals to me quite a bit. And maybe that's the breather that we take, is we do two things. We work on what the process for phase two would look like, and we wait for the final disposition of the board, and I think that is some months away, optimistically. I also agree that I think that there's sort of two approaches to the decision to proceed. One is to say that this is a decision that the working group gets to make. Another is to say it's not a decision at all, that we said all along that we were going to do phase one and two, and that we're just going to start phase two now. We can ponder that for a while. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. Eric Brenner-Williams.
You're really faint again.
Thank you, Mikey. This is Eric Brenner-Williams.
There we go.
Is that fair?
Yeah, okay. Better.
I take exception to the idea that we can't start until, or that we can't restart, or that we can't start with phase two until whatever the predicate condition is. Yes, the board may take an arbitrarily long time to decide what the rules of the game are for the round that may or may not happen in 2011. It could be 2012 or 2013. Nevertheless, the conflict between the contracted parties who are registries and the contracted parties who are registrars is something that can, that these two sets of contracted parties can attempt to determine what their real sticking points are without the pressure of Cartagena. So I don't think that it is necessary, actually I don't think it's prudent, to wait until the next shoe drops before continuing. I think the serious discussion between the registrars who have a keen interest in a change to their contracted party status and the registries, which have a keen interest in the same subject, is something that can go forward, and these two sets of parties can find what they don't disagree about. And they may be able to eliminate some areas of non-disagreement that are substantial. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. I don't know. This has given me a lot to think about. I may need to take a breather and cogitate rather than just carry on. Roberto, any thoughts from your perspective on this? You have the advantage of sort of watching me twist and turn, but not being quite in the middle of it all. Just curious, sort of what you think. You're muted at the moment.
Oh?
There we go.
Oh, now yeah. I was unmuted, and thinking of unmuting, I muted. Anyway. So I think that it's a simple situation, but a complicated question, in the sense that we need to the situation is simple. Do we need to decide whether there is some more work that is related to the closure of phase one, and I don't think that it is a matter of being willing to keep the working group alive and to survive to our death, as it could be hinted by Avery's comment. The genuine question is: do we really need to have to do something to close phase one? Is there something that we need to do by taking into account the comments? And I believe it's a simple question, but it's a complicated to give an answer to this. How to get how to take into account those comments. For sure, we are not going to suddenly change our mind on basic things because of the comments. But is there anything in terms of the principles that we can and should add to our report based on the analysis of the comments? And that is the answer might be. No, we believe that reading the comments doesn't bring anything anything new, and we stay with what we have, and that closes phase one, and the report that we send to by the middle of November will just say barely this, that the working group, after the interim report, has evaluated the public comment, has met again by teleconference and blah, 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 and confirms what was said in the interim report, that then becomes the final report of phase one. And then we'll see what is going to happen in terms of chartering a phase two or not, which is a decision that is not incumbent on us. It's the council that has to decide whether we are going to have a phase two, and how this phase two has to be managed. And I think that if you allow me, I just say a sentence on the phase two. I think that in the beginning, this working group was put up quite in a hurry. We have spent the first teleconferences in figuring out exactly what was exactly the charter, what was the meaning of certain points, because everything was done in a hurry. Now we are not going to have the excuse of the hurry if we are going to have a phase two that has to be properly charted with clear objectives that everybody will understand and agree, and will be done in a different way. But again, the question is on what happens on phase two is orthogonal to the question are we really through with phase one, or are we stopping just because we went through the momentum that brought us to Brussels and immediately after Brussels, during and immediately after, and then we went sort of on summer vacation. And so is the summer vacation the end of it, and so let be it? Or are we going to produce something as closure of the phase one now that summer is over and we are in fall? That's all.
Thanks, Alberto. I think that clearly one thing we need to figure out is back to Margie's question, which is, do these comments change our views in the areas where there's still some flexibility, and that's primarily the principles? And it seems like we need to find that out as a group. So somebody, either some groups or something, needs to happen with that, so that we can get back together and say, no, we just, it's a non-starter, or we can't find any places to agree, or indeed there are some small corners of agreement that we might be able to build into something. I think no matter what, we need to try to do that. As soon as we do something like that, I think the deadline for the report, the dreaded second sentence of mine, goes out the window, because you can follow that up and get through it. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you. This is a question to Roberto. Roberto, can you identify where in the order it states that the working group shall terminate its activity prior to the Cartagena meeting? Or at any other finite point in time?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I'm making a bit of confusion with this mute on mute. No, it's not written anywhere, but it seemed logical to me, the fact that if... the purpose of the working group was to give indication by the community, by the working group, that are going to be useful for the board to take a decision, then something has to be done before the board takes a decision. And there were two points. One was the retreat where the board has expressed an opinion, but then at one point there's going to be the launch of the new GTLDs, and we think it's going to be before the end of the year. So maybe Cartagena is not the magic meeting in itself, but it's the fact that I suppose that the board will take a decision, and at that point, if we want to provide all the elements to the board in order to make an informed decision, we need to act before that. That's the only reason.
Thanks, Roberto. Does that answer your question, Eric?
No, it doesn't. It speaks to the necessity for providing input to the board prior to a certain date. It doesn't speak to the necessity of ending function at that point. I don't recall myself having the slightest idea that this was only to provide input by the decision point for the, whenever it happens, 2009-10-11 round of new GTLDs. I recall having a longer, thinking that there was a longer purpose for this group and arriving at a vertical integration policy that would last in the future and which was also applicable to the 2003 and the 2001
contracts. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. I think that the phased notion was certainly something that I introduced. It's not in our charter, for sure. And our charter is quite broad. It's much broader than the work we've done so far. We sort of crammed phase one into our charter because we were given that challenge sort of after the charter was actually written, I think. And so I think you're right, Eric. There's nothing in our charter that says we end by any given date. There is quite a bit in our charter that talks about what we need to do, and we have not done quite a bit of it. So, there's outstanding work there to do for sure. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, our charter called for us to decide on what is, or recommend what is right for vertical integration on the long term. It explicitly said we should not do anything which will delay round one. Well, with the most recent board decision, there's nothing we can do at this point to delay round one. So we're meeting implicitly by the board decision, meeting that target, and therefore the rest of our charter, I believe, still stands. As you pointed out, the phase one versus phase two was our own artifice, and I'm not sure we should toss it back to council at this point to ask them should we continue with phase two. And lastly, I'll point out that council these days is very process-driven, and if we terminate something, I suspect the decision of council will be to restart it. We're going to have to start the whole PDP process over again with an issues report, and I don't think there's going to be any taste in council to restart it. As I mentioned in an email, I think that's going to be akin to restarting the Who Is one immediately after it, quote, failed.
Yep.
And if council shuts us down, fine. That's the decision they can take. But I don't think we should voluntarily give up, because I do not believe it will be restarted, and I believe the GTLD world would be worse for not having anyone try to come to closure on the right way to go forward in the longer term. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Okay. I'm probably going to have to read or listen to the MP3 and think about this again, but here's sort of where I'm feeling we're at. At a minimum, we need to take a look at those comments and see if they swing anything in terms of the principles, and we need to do that soon because that might be something we could get done before the board makes its decision in this round, and it would be very helpful for them. So I think people should start thinking about how we want to do that, maybe break into those same groups and clump the comments and spend a week trying to get a sense of that. I'm pretty swung over to the view that we have work left to do in our charter. I'm also pretty open to the view that we probably want to ease off just a little bit on phase two until we know what the real decision is on by the board on this particular round. But I'm also pretty sure that I, Mr. Process, could fill up a pretty fair amount of time building a work plan for that. So, maybe what we do, somewhere back in the chat it said hibernate. And, maybe it's hibernate and process for a few months while those decisions get made. But I think our urgent work is to hit those comments by the chunks of the principles that they apply to. And I'm wondering if we could emerge from this call with a notion to go ahead and start that. We don't have enough people on the call to really form the groups, but is there anybody that thinks that's a really terrible idea?
What?
I heard a squawk.
Mikey, it's Alan. My only thought is I'm not sure we really want to write the detailed game plan for phase two, whatever, and because this group may make a different class of decision once that board decision is out.
Yeah.
The other point I just said on the chat is although I don't know if we want to think of it from this perspective, the board may make a different decision for round one if they believe it is for round one only, or if they think this is a decision for all eternity. As I said, that's trying to second guess the board, and I'm not sure we want to do that. But it's
I'm reluctant to go down that path.
Yeah, but it's something to recognize.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. The process point you made, Alan. I agree. You know, we may find ourselves in a situation that dramatically changes not only the circumstances but also the best approach.
Remember, there have been a lot of people on these calls who have said the whole situation rests on round one, and it's a different world if round one isn't available to us.
Yeah.
So it will change the world. We're not sure how.
Yeah. Okay. So I think what I will do, I think we've sort of hammered on this enough, clearly in terms of the two questions on the agenda. The initial treatment of the public comments that I proposed is not the right approach, because what I was proposing doesn't take into account any of this conversation about trying to swing the principles. So let me summarize that decision to the list this afternoon. And in terms of the work group's plans for moving forward, let's continue this conversation on the list. I need to sort of stop improvising and start thinking before I can go too much further on this. It seems to me that we're pretty close to the same page on that as well, but I'm not sure that we can get much further on today's call. Anything else that people want to talk about? We're about 10 minutes after the hour. Or shall we just wrap up early and I'll jump on the email and summarize all this? Okay, let's do that. We've had a pretty processy call. I apologize for that. But there you go. Thanks, gang. Have a great day. Happy Thanksgiving to Alan and anybody else who's in Canada.
Thank you, and happy Columbus Day to all those in the U.S.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next week, and I'll jump on the email here.